When President-elect George W. Bush moves into the White House Saturday, it won't be anything like when he visited his dad. He and scores of advisors, cabinet members, and staff will have to figure out how to run the country. Fast. I spoke with two people who know how confusing those first few days in the White House can be. Dee Dee Myers was President Clinton's original press secretary. Chase Untermyer worked for the elder President Bush as director of presidential personnel. Myers says at the beginning, the White House felt like a maze.
It's unlike a first day any place else because you haven't had access to the office. I had only been to the West Wing once when we were sort of led in there afternoon on January 20th, 1993. You don't know where the bathrooms are. You don't know where your offices are. You don't know how to get from your office to the other people who you need to see's office. But not only that, you're expected to be running the government the minute you set foot into the building. So it was a really pretty overwhelming experience. It sort of hit the ground running, but you don't know where to run.
Was it like that for you, Chase Untermyer?
I had a little bit more experience because I'd been in the Reagan White House when George Bush the elder was vice president. But in between, something big had happened, and that was the passage of the Presidential Records Act, which meant that everything was literally stripped clean and taken off to the National Archives. So that meant no telephone directories or paper or pencil or any such thing, no computer memory whatsoever. And also, most people don't realize the White House is the only agency of the federal government that is basically 100% changed with an administration. So there's really no one around to ask either.
Well, what do you do?
There is a permanent memory of the Secret Service and the White House operators and the messengers. They help a lot. But otherwise, it's a pretty wild few days as you learn how to master the phone system.
What do you know now that you wish you knew then?
How much time do you have? Gosh, there's so many things that I know personally, and I think a lot of people that worked in the Clinton administration from Clinton on down know now, certainly the president at the end of 8 years. As the White House press secretary, I think one of the things that we misunderstood was the institutional power of the press, the memory of the press, the fact that they had sources inside the permanent office of the government, unlike the White House, as Chase was mentioning. Every other agency in the government has people that stay, and those people know a lot, and they can help you or they can hurt you. And I think we misunderstood not only the sort of institutional power of the press, but the institutional power of the people that were going to be there from administration to administration, from party to party. And that's just the beginning. That's just the tip of the iceberg in the things that we learned the hard way.
So you'd be nice to Helen Thomas.
I was always nice to Helen Thomas. but yes, I'd be nice to all the Helen Thomases.
Chase Untermyer, any advice for the Bush team coming in?
Professor Neustadt at Harvard has always written about the hubris of new administrations, and I don't have any worry about George W. Bush, but I do worry about a White House staff that's never been in the building before, because to them, each of them has won election by 100% of the vote, and they are brimming with self-confidence and the certainty that they know it all. And that can lead to mistakes, and it can lead not to asking for help when you really need it. So I worry more for the newcomers who will, in time, learn the lesson, but it can be a pretty rough few days and weeks.
Seems like every incoming administration has at least one appointments problem at the beginning, and this one was no exception. Other than that, how do you think they're doing?
I think they've done quite well. I think that the Bush team moved quickly. They appointed people with a lot of experience, which I think avoided some of the pitfalls of certainly the Clinton administration, which was appointing people who weren't necessarily well-known, whose backgrounds were then subject to a lot more surprises. It's clearly a qualified group. It's ideologically a little different than I would have hoped, but I think they've certainly moved quite professionally to put people in place.
I'm glad Dee Dee has said that, because I absolutely agree. I think that while we all recognize, and George W. Bush no less, how narrow this election was, that he intends to govern from strength, that the Constitution empowers any president with every bit as much authority, winning by a shade of votes as by a landslide.
What advice do you give your new president in dealing with the press?
I think openness is the best policy, and I think so many presidents have learned that the hard way. It's rarely the events or issues themselves that get people into permanent trouble. It's trying to cover them up. And I think, you know, if you go back over the last 30 or 40 years, you can see how true that is. I think that President-elect Bush handled the press very well in a personal way during the campaign. I think he earned a lot of affection and quite a bit of respect from people who started out skeptical. I think he has to start and do that all over again. I think as president, he has to work not just to sort of build friendly relationships, but to create an atmosphere of openness. And I think it was a little troubling in the New York Times over the weekend. He sort of said he might be keeping his press secretary out of the loop a bit so that he could plausibly deny knowing about certain issues. I think that's a prescription for disaster. Having lived through that a bit myself, I don't think it's either good for the press secretary, and it's certainly not good for the president, so I would urge him to rethink that.
Chase Undermeyer, what do you think?
Well, I certainly defer to Dee Dee with regard to press relations. One thing to remember is that in our current news cycle, the press never sleeps. Washington, in many ways, is a Rubik's Cube of many different parts moving at the same time. It's one of the great challenges for a political appointee, especially someone who comes out of the business world where things are fairly unidimensional, making a profit. Whereas in Washington, yes, you don't have to worry about making a profit, but you have to pay attention to all those moving parts, the press, the Congress, interest groups, people in your own staff, the civil service, people in other agencies. It's a multidimensional challenge that takes a bit of getting used to, and very few people come by it naturally.
Yeah, and you know, Chase hit on a really good point. One of the biggest changes facing people, even people who worked in the Reagan and Bush administrations 8 years ago, is the size and the speed of the press. I mean, the press was moving toward a 24-hour news cycle in 1992. It's been completed now, and information moves so fast with the invention of the Internet, thanks to Al Gore, and all these cable stations that didn't exist when Bill Clinton became president, and the ability of anything you say to echo around the country and around the world in minutes. And so I think that President Bush has to be very careful about that, as President Clinton did, and try to push back the pressure to make quick decisions in order to make good decisions. It's getting harder and harder.
Dee Dee Myers, who was President Clinton's press secretary, is now a consultant for the hit television program The West Wing. Chase Undermeyer, President Bush's director of personnel, is director of government affairs for Compaq Computer.